Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words depart. Take it again. Holy words, long preserved for I walk in this world. There is sound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Words of life, words of hope,
words of life. Changing me and changing you.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you tonight. Thank you for this time during our service, when we have an opportunity to hear some of these ancient words ever true. Words that contain power. Power to change each and every one of us. Thank you that these words reveal your heart, your will, your plan, your purposes, your intentions for our lives. And tonight, with open hearts, we come to receive. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to touch us. We need you to help us tonight. We need you to work on us so that these words of life, these words of hope, will work a great work in our lives, such that we will not leave here the same, but that something awesome, something profound will be deposited into our lives. We thank you, Father, that you're here tonight and that we'll be blessed because we came. In the mighty name of Jesus have I prayed with thanksgiving. And let the people of God shout aloud, amen. A louder amen. A louder amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap. God bless you, and you may be seated. And thank you very much for being a part of our times of impartation, which is our midweek teaching service, where the focus is primarily teaching us kingdom truths and revelations that will help us in our service to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we're reading from verse number 11. Verse 11 to 12 of Acts chapter 17. It says, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. Now, can we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15? And I want to read this verse from the King James Version of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think it'll be great if we can look at it from another version of the Bible, same verse, but this time from the Amplified Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, from the Amplified Bible. What does it say there? What does it say there? It says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. Now, that word approved means tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, which means rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thanks be to God must be your response. And today, I want to share with you, it's very likely that I'll continue next week, but I want to share with you on the subject, knowing the word of God for ourselves. Knowing the word of God for ourselves. Hallelujah. knowing the word of God for ourselves. Now, this morning, can you help me to bring this down? This morning, I received a WhatsApp message from one of our uncles in church. And in this WhatsApp message, he had forwarded a video clip of a very famous American televangelist who was apologizing in this video and asking the body of Christ to forgive him. Why? Because he confessed that for many years he had been teaching certain things that were wrong and that were not exactly true. And God had convicted him about it, and he felt that he owed the body of Christ an apology. Now, this is, I don't want to get into who it is because I have a lot of respect for him. He's actually prayed for me before. He's actually laid hands on me before. All right, so I respect him greatly. But it's quite sad and unfortunate that things like that happen. Because you see, people have a way of accepting anything and everything that is said from the pulpit. And once it comes from a revered man of God, the posture is to take it as the gospel truth and to just believe in it. I don't know, Uncle Albert, maybe on this table, maybe you should come a bit inside, Mavis as well, all right, so that they don't obstruct you. I think it'll be better. He's decided to position himself there and nobody can dislodge him. All right. So I'm saying that unfortunately, such things have a devastating effect on believers, you know, because once certain teachings and doctrines come from certain revered men of God, most people who hear them believe that everything that they are saying is the truth. And then they take decisions for their lives based on the things that they have heard. And what sometimes happens is that when their expectations are not met, they become frustrated, they become disillusioned, they become disappointed. And actually, there are some people who walk out of the faith because certain things did not work for them. Things that they heard powerful men of God say to them. Now, the truth is this, that there is a lot of disturbing teachings and doctrines that are going on in the body of Christ today. Actually, it didn't start now. Even from the days of the early church, there are a lot of scriptures where the authors of the different letters or books of the Bible warned the believers to be careful of wrong teachings, of false teachings, and warned them of false prophets, false teachers, false pastors. Let's look at some of those warnings, if you don't mind. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, from the New Living Translation, and I think we're going to stay there. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae and is warning them that there are certain things which are empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that are being propagated. And he warns that don't let anyone capture you. It's quite interesting the word that he used, capture you. So the idea behind it is that you can be imprisoned. You can be confined. You can be in bondage and in captivity because of certain things that you hear and certain things that you are taught. And he goes on to explain that some of these teachings proceed from human thinking. You must understand that the thoughts of man are different from the thoughts of God. And that is why God explained clearly through the prophet Isaiah that my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens are so far higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So there are some teachings and there are some doctrines. They sound very clever, but the Bible is describing them here through the words of the Apostle Paul. He says they are high-sounding nonsense. And it's frightening, the last part of it. He says, they come from the spiritual powers of this world. Which powers is he referring to? Of course, the powers of the devil. Demons and evil spirit. And he's warning us. And this warning was given to the church many, many years ago. Many, many, many years ago, after the Christian faith had been established, that we got to be careful. Because there are some doctrines, there are some teachings that come from evil spirits. And he writes also to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 and says this to him. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times or in the last days, some will turn away from the true faith. What is going to make them turn away from the true faith? He explains, they will follow deceptive spirits. That means spirits that deceive. And teachings that come from demons. And he's speaking to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And he's speaking, therefore, to all Christians and to all believers, because it is the word of God, revealing to us that there are teachings that proceed from deceptive spirits, spirits that have set out to deceive, and that there are teachings that come from demons. God have mercy. Let's look at another scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, 3. He says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. There's a kind of teaching that is sound. There's a kind of teaching that is wholesome. But the Bible is warning us that a time is coming, and that time has come fully upon us, where people will no longer listen to such teachings. He says they will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And some of these teachings and wrong doctrines have gained a certain credence because of the believers in the churches. Because a lot of us have itching ears. There are things that we want to hear. So sometimes we force the pastors, the prophets, the men of God to say things that will make us happy. And to say things that will gratify our desires. So we have heaped onto ourselves teachers who would tell us what our itching ears want to hear. The Bible says a time will come when we will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. We'll say that it is too boring. We'll say that there's no excitement in it. It is dry. It doesn't tickle our fancy. Our ears are itching. We need something to nunu inside our ears. And that word that you are preaching is not accomplishing that aim. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 to 30. So in different parts of scripture, a caution is sounded. An alert is given. That this thing that is happening in the body of Christ today is actually going to happen. So in Acts 20, the apostle Paul has gathered the elders of the church to give them a message because he was about to depart on a journey. And this is what he says to them. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. He continues. Even some men from your own group, that is those who were present, that some of you are going to rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. And that is often the objective of these wrong teachings. The aim is to draw a following. So you tell them what their itching ears want to hear so that they can follow you. That's the objective of it. So he says to them, even some of you present in this meeting that I am having, that I'm sounding this warning to, are going to rise up, and the truth of God's word, you will twist it. You will distort it. Look at 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16. 2 Peter 3, verse 15 to 16. He says, and remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Then he explains that some of his comments, that is Paul's writings, are hard to understand. And those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters. They've done what? Twisted his letters to mean something quite different. Just as they do with other parts of scripture. And this will result in their destruction. And he says these teachings promote a godly life. A godly life is a life that is focused on God. A godly life is a life that is conscious of God. A godly life is a life that acknowledges God. A godly life is a life that is devoted to God. Then he says, anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. So sometimes you hear some of these, my fellow ministers, playing around with words. Playing around with words. And trying to force the words to say something that they are not saying. And what's the effect of it? It says, this stirs up arguments. And these arguments end in jealousy. So there's a lot of jealousy in Christendom. Division. There's a lot of division in the church. Slander. Where we slander one another. So when you just go to the social media, you see, and they keep putting them up there. This man of God is slandering this other man of God, saying that he's this, saying that he's that. So it goes on. And that's why I keep telling you guys that you better be careful of these social media platforms. Be very, very careful. And understand that it is a useful tool that the enemy finds a way of manipulating to carry out his agenda. And evil suspicions. He says, these people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. So that is what it is with some of these ministers of the gospel. That a lot of what they are doing is to make money out of the people, is to become wealthy. So there are all kinds of tricks and maneuvers and manipulation and controlling and exploitation going on in the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 to 7. The apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He says, I am shocked. I am in one book. That you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. I think that sometimes we forget who has called us and who has saved us. You know? Sometimes we forget it. The one who has saved you is Christ Jesus, not your pastor. He wants to take credit for your salvation and your redemption. He's not the one who saved you. Anybody who wants to take credit for your salvation, ask the person, have you spilled your blood for me before? I was bought with blood, but not your blood. With the blood of the only begotten Son of God. That is what paid for my salvation. I respect you for the role that God used you for to bring me into salvation. And I'll always honor you for it. But you did not make me. You did not call me. You did not save me. You were the instrument that God used. But my salvation was worked out by Christ Jesus. You cannot take credit for it. It says you are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist. Do you see that word twist again? Those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. It is deliberate. Tell your neighbor, it is deliberate. Yeah. Very, very, very deliberate. Twist it. Because they have an agenda and they have a goal. Sometimes it's to hold people captive. To prevent people from seeing the light and the truth for themselves. So they twist the truth. And the people are held in captivity. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. The last one. So he says, Paul is now talking about us coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then in verse 14 of Ephesians 4, he says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And every now and again, there's a wind of new teaching that blows through the body of Christ. And here we are, like little children, tossed and blown about by every wind of new doctrine. He says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us. When people try to trick us with lies, so clever, clever lies, that they sound like the truth. And oh, there is a lot of that. There is a lot of that. Turn on your television. Change from channel to channel. You see a lot of that. Many of them have money to buy airtime. Where did the money come from? Your guess is as good as mine. And because we are in a liberal country and a certain kind of censorship is not there, people have taken advantage of it. And now all kinds of clever lies have been packaged and put out there for people to consume. And how we are consuming. How we are consuming. And it is because of these things and the excesses that come as a result of that. That is why in some countries they've decided to clamp down on a lot of churches. So recently in a country like Rwanda, about 5,000 churches were shut down. Because they came up with a law in 2019 or so that churches must register. The pastors of the churches must have a university degree in theology. Hey, what is our law ever Ghana? The assembly, including myself, because I don't have a degree in theology. You know, your meeting place must be a certain way. One of the churches that was shut down, it was because they had just one toilet. I said, no way. You cannot just have one toilet in the church. Yeah. But the reason why some of these laws are enacted is because of all these excesses that take place in the body of Christ. So you can see that in all these scriptures that I've read to you, we are being cautioned and we are being warned about false teachings, about false ministers, so-called ministers of the gospels, men and women of God, who are teaching all kinds of things that lead the people into bondage, into danger, and into captivity. So the question is this: how can we protect ourselves from these wrong doctrines and these false teachings? How? How can we protect ourselves from these false men and women of the gospel? How? How can we secure ourselves to make sure that we don't fall victims to them? I read a statement by a certain woman. Her name is Beth Moore. She wrote a book, Children of the Day. And there's a statement that she made in this book. This is what she said. We are blessed to have limitless opportunities to study under many pastors and teachers. But if we do not go diligently to the scriptures for ourselves, the question is not whether we'll be deceived, but how often we will be deceived. I'll say it again. Think about it. She says we are blessed to have limitless opportunities to study under many pastors and teachers. And we have a lot of them. A lot of pastors, a lot of teachers. So in a certain sense, it is a blessing to have access to different ministers of the gospel, to different anointings, and to benefit from all of them. That in itself is not wrong. And we should recognize and see them as limitless opportunities. But she gives a caveat. And she says, but if we do not go diligently to the scriptures for ourselves. If we do not go diligently to the scriptures for ourselves. The question is not whether we will be deceived. As for being deceived, yeah, we will definitely be deceived. So the issue will now become how often we are deceived. And she's saying something. She's saying something very profound here. If you ask me, Pastor, how can I protect myself from wrong teachings and wrong doctrines that can actually land me in hell? That can make me lose the blessings that God has prepared for me. That can make me lose my salvation. How do I protect myself? How do I shield myself? How do I secure myself from these things? One of the things that I can tell you for sure is that we must know the word of God for ourselves. Yes, you. Know the word of God for yourself. Don't just swallow everything that you hear, hook, line, and sinker. Don't. No matter who it is coming from, don't. I respect ministers of the gospel. Honor them. I salute them. But if what you are saying does not resonate well with the scriptures, the word of God, I cannot run with what you're saying. Even though I respect you. And even though I honor you. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to protect ourselves from all kinds of error, and ending up where we don't want to be. There are marriages that have ended because of a certain kind of teaching and counseling and instruction. There are businesses that have collapsed because of a certain teaching. There are successful people who ended up broke because of a certain kind of teaching. There are people who have died because of a certain kind of teaching. So don't joke with it. Don't joke with the power of the words that you hear from this sacred desk. You got to have a way of protecting yourself, of shielding yourself, of preventing yourself from becoming one of the victims. And one of the surest ways of doing this, my friend, is to know the word of God for yourself. I started off by reading to you from Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Two groups of people were being compared here. The people of Berea and then the people of Thessalonica. And here we are told that the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Now, to be open-minded simply means to be receptive to new ideas and to new things. The opposite of it is to be closed-minded. So, there's a lot of advantages with being open-minded. If you are closed-minded or you are one block, you don't accept innovation. You don't accept creativity. That's when somebody will come up with a fufu-making machine. And you tell the person, say, machine fakuzi baby. Fufu dear. Fufu de nane de nya. Tim 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 tim. As I say, a ye sweat kakra a kum. Yeah bon komono. As I say, Ento sio kakra ekom ninyi na ka ho ema eduane no ede nte mesemo a monfa mufufu making machine monfa nkosi baby yempe I have one of these stickers, WhatsApp stickers, of somebody was pounding fufu. And the instruction he had been given is that wherever I put the cassava, pound there. So the woman who was carrying the fufu put cassava in her mouth. And the guy followed with the warmer. Set up. That's it. And so, obey. So that's what it means to be open-minded. You are receptive to new ideas. So the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. But you see, the fact that they were open-minded did not mean that they were idiots. That they were not deep thinkers. Because the Bible says, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. That's good. When the word of God is being preached, you must listen eagerly. You must. Don't come to church, be in a service, and you are just there. Very passive. You don't realize that it's the word of God that is supposed to be being preached. So you must start off from the premise that what I'm about to hear is the word of God. So I must be alert. I must be eager. Even the way I sit in the chair should reflect somebody who is expecting to receive something great from God. That's why sometimes when you come to church and you see people slouching in the chair like that, just say, wow. We're Was it Forgive who shared a video with us of somebody was in a church and had been sleeping? Then somebody woke him up and then he jumped up and lifted up his hand. What are you receiving? What on earth are you receiving? Let's just say, Jom Imprem Kwa. Jom Imprem. Who are you deceiving? So it says, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. But it didn't end there. They were listening to a whole Paul and his wife, Silas. Silas was not his wife. Okay. So his fellow worker. They listened eagerly to them, but it didn't end there. The Bible says they set the scriptures day after day to see. They wanted to shine their eyes and see if what Paul and Silas were teaching them was the truth. Oh, they had heard of the great work that God had done with Paul and with Silas. They respected them. They respected their ministry credentials. But to them, we cannot accept anything that you are saying until we have said through the scriptures for ourselves to establish whether what you are saying to us is the truth or not. So often you hear this statement, we must be like the Berean Christians. What was it about the Berean Christians that was recommendable? They were people who were into the scriptures. They set the scriptures. They knew the scriptures for themselves. And there was nothing that Paul and Silas said to them that they did not. Notice what they did. They set the scriptures day after day. Day after day. That speaks of focus. That speaks of diligence. That speaks of earnestness. That speaks of concentration. They set the scriptures day after day. To be sure that what they were being told is the truth. and those who propagate these wrong teachings. They don't encourage their members and those who listen to them to search the scriptures. They tell them things to the effect that once I have spoken, it's not the voice of a man, it is the voice of God. You showed us a scripture on Sunday, is that not so? Yeah. Hey. Start up when you come to church, when the word of God is being preached, that what you are about to hear is not the word of a man, but is the word of God. Start off from that premise. But be on high alert. Let your antennas be high up. So that if anything that is being said that is contrary to sound doctrine, say to yourself, hey! Now, I'm not asking you to interrupt the service. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I want you to lift up your hand and say, this has happened before. Somebody went to church. The pastor said that somebody jumped. I said, Kai, Pastor, what? Pastor, Wubwa. Yeah. I'm not asking you to do anything as extreme as that. But as you sit in the church, as you're writing your notes, you must be somebody who knows the word of God, who knows God's word, who knows the scriptures for yourself, so that if anything is said, any teaching comes forth that is contrary to the sound doctrine that we find in the word of God, no matter who it is coming from, reject it. Reject it. And I'll submit to you that if you find out that time and again, that is what keeps happening. It's one false doctrine after another false doctrine, one false teaching after another false teaching. I'm telling you, find somewhere to go. Because your life is in danger. Your life is in danger. And how can you know the scriptures for yourself? You got to study it. That's why it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, which was one of the other scriptures that we read, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. All of us are workmen for God. Remember that when you are saved, you are supposed, God is expecting you to work for him. You thought that he saved you so that you can be on a long holiday, a long jolly ride to where? Agro in Iswati. God has saved you to work for him. So if you haven't started work, you are wasting time. Because you don't have as much time as you may think. That's what we've been called to do. God is calling us to work for him. And to use whatever gifts and abilities that he's giving to us. It's a shame when God has endowed you with certain gifts and abilities. And you come to church and you sit on those gifts. And you don't use them for the glory of God. It's a great shame. And I say to you, shame on you. Shame on you. Every gift, every ability that God has given to you, you must use it in the house of God. And that's why you, forgive, I'm expecting you to sing for the Lord. Because I was told that you sing. But I see you once on the stage and I don't see you again and all of that. I'm wondering that what's happening with my son? Use it. Use what God has given to you. Because you must be a workman. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We must know how to rightly divide the word of truth so that we don't end up in error. So we must know the scriptures for ourselves. If you can read and you don't read, there's very little difference between you and the person who cannot read. And if you cannot read, you are without excuse, oh man, oh woman. Because even the Bible, there are audio Bibles. Eh? There is nobody in this 21st century who has an excuse. The Bible has been translated into several languages. You want the Dagati Bible, you will get. You want Ever Bible, you will get. You want God Bible, you will get. It's available. So you have no excuse. I didn't go to school. So what? Thankfully, you have ears. that you can hear. Even people who cannot hear and all of that, there are tools for them. There are brails for them. There's nobody who has any excuse that I can't know the word of God for myself. But that thing, it takes effort. That's why it says study. 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 Study the word of God. Read the Bible for yourself. Put in effort. Put in diligence. When you come to church and you hear the word of God preach, when you go back, go and search through the scriptures for yourself. There's a reason why we put up, we have the podcast. You know, after every service on Sundays, the message that was preached, it is put on our WhatsApp platform. It's available on different media. It's to make the word available to you. And you can take advantage of that to do a deeper search and find out whether these things that you were told were exactly so. We must know the word of God for ourselves. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. And if Jesus Christ tarries, next week, Wednesday, I'm going to pick it up from there. Put your hands together for Jesus and rise to your feet, my friends. God bless you. Father, we are thankful to you for tonight and we are grateful to you for your word. We ask, O God, that let this word continue to ring in our hearts and in our minds. For your Spirit is saying something to us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to move away from immaturity and from being babies in the faith and begin to grow and mature and develop in the things of God, particularly in the word of God, so that we'll be protected from all kinds of wrong and evil teachings that are doctrines of devils, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for everyone who came for the service today, and thank you for all those who are watching. Touch and bless every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen. Say amen again. Give Jesus a big hand clap.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.